What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Movie Crush, Mini Crush Edition. Monday. Can't stand that day.
You don't like Mondays?
No, it's a Mama's and the Papa song.
Oh, and there's also that Boomtown Rat song.
I don't know why I don't like Mondays.
I like that one.
No. That's a great song. Bob Geldof. All right, Noel. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, Chuck. How are you?
I'm great. Is it weird for both of us now to be this busy as two dudes who probably spent a lot of their lives, speaking for me, but guessing about you, not being super busy guys?
I mean, I don't know. I've always kind of had some balls in the air, but no,
things
are definitely a little more balls, a little more juggling, and a little less just tossing a ball up and down, you know?
More balls, everybody.
A lot of more balls.
Up with balls. So, welcome. Thanks for the support, everyone, for these mini crushes. We're having a good time in here doing these. So we appreciate you listening. They're performing just as well as the Maxi Crush main interview. So we really appreciate that. All right. So we're going to move on to a recommended viewing segment. As everyone knows, I do a foreign film recommendation, a documentary film recommendation, and an independent film recommendation. So we actually have a guest this week for the foreign film rec. Everyone say hello to my boss, the president of our podcast network, Mr. Connell Byrne.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Or as I like to refer to him, Mr. Byrne.
Hey, yep, me too. I try that on myself. It's weirder when I say it.
So I decided to bring Connell in here because my foreign film pick for this week is a movie that he recommended to me years ago. And is it pronounced?
Cachet.
Okay, there you go.
Cachet.
Because you speak a little French, right?
I do. When I was a kid, when I was turning 17, my parents, who are from Ireland, announced to me that instead of doing the normal senior year high school thing, mm-hmm. I was going to be shipped off to France.
Wow.
And put into a French-speaking, full-blown, like, French school.
Holy
and
shit.
So I did that for a year, and then for a very brief moment of my life, for maybe 2 or 3 years after that, I was fully fluent in French, and it was really cool. It was very weird and cool.
How are you now?
It's like one of those things, like it genuinely is a little bit like riding a bicycle where like if I read a book in French or watch a little bit of a movie, I'll get a lot more and very mm-hmm. quickly ramp back up. But it's fear. You just fear that I don't know how to speak this anymore.
But if you're watching a French film, do you need to read the subtitles?
A little, half and half. I'll try to drift off the subtitles for periods of 5 or 10 minutes and I'll do just fine. But then mm-hmm. you obviously lapse back in and start reading them again, thinking that you're not capable. And
well, they talk
talk so fast and use so much like slang and things just pounding words together.
There's so many hand gestures and spittle, and it's a beautiful country. A
lot of spitting, French films. A lot of spitting. It's true.
All right, so I'll set up this movie. Cachet is a movie from 2005, written, directed by an Austrian filmmaker named Michael, is it Haneke?
Michael Haneke, yeah.
Who, I don't know what he's best known for, maybe Funny Games?
Yeah, he's best known for Funny Games.
Funny Games.
Yeah, and he just did one more recently that I was just trying to look up before this that won all kinds of awards. Oh, Amour. So about, I have not seen Amour, to be clear, but he also remade Funny Games,
so
I believe,
weird.
Right, in English?
Oh, yeah. He did the remake?
He directed his own remake.
Yeah. Oh, I think I might have known that and forgotten it.
Yeah, so he's a bit of a Lars von Trier guy where he's sort of like, very good, depending on where you come down on Lars von Trier, but a very good director, but who's also kind of meta. He's also playing with the medium in ways that's beyond just, I'm going to make an interesting movie that's going to break the fourth wall or something like that. He's also like remaking his own movies, and then that becomes part of film critical theory. And so it's very interesting, very interesting guy.
So Cachet is I guess you could call it a psychological thriller. The great Juliette Binoche, Maurice Benichou?
Sure, go there. And Daniel Auteuil. So, like, Cachet is, for me, probably top five ever and has hung out there since I saw it. And it in some ways, it's very obvious. It brings together two of the greatest French actors ever, Binoche and Auteuil. Auteuil was well known for Man Under the Springs, or Manon des Sources, as the French call it, which was that huge, I think it was a two or three films they made 20, 25 years ago. They're fantastic films.
Oh, yeah?
They're period pieces, but that's what Daniel Auteuil came into his own as a young actor. Mm-hmm. He is phenomenal. He sort of took the helm from – I'm oversimplifying a lot here, but like he sort of took the helm from Depardieu as France's great new actor.
Right.
And Binoche is obviously Binoche. I mean, she did Blue and on down, she's just been lights out, incredible. So these two actors come together in Cachet, which starts out as a very, very unnerving but fairly straightforward thriller where a guy is
unnerving
watching.
Unnerving is the word for
it. Yeah, you've seen it. Yeah, so like it's one of the greatest openings ever, right? Like where he's watching a videotape or a tape of some kind, and it turns out to be his own apartment, the facade of his own apartment that somebody has filmed. And it's just that incredibly simple act of filming where you live and then sending it to someone is incredibly unnerving. And that's the kind of thing that Haneke is good at. It's like you don't have to necessarily run into a room with a knife and stab somebody to scare an audience. Very subtle, simple gestures can also be terrifying.
Oh, I think if anybody came home, found a DVD on their front porch, and it was film footage of their house, there's not many things that is more disturbing.
Yeah. I mean, David Lynch did the same thing, right? Where like he had
Lost
that,
Highway.
Exactly. Where it's just really just – there's nothing remarkable about the footage that was mailed to whomever in that movie.
No, just locked down on a tripod.
Literally just in Lost Highway. It's like moving through the house. But you're like – it's that somebody leaving their thumbprint or imprint on your life. So it starts off pretty simply, and then where he goes with it is, not to spoiler it, which I won't, but he takes it into very, very layered racial issues that I will say this, you may only understand if you know a French person or have lived in France. You may only understand the rift between for in America, it's our racial problem, which may be one of the original sins of our country, some people say, is that chasm between races in our country. That also exists in France.
Yeah.
But in France, it's between the Islamic population, the Middle Eastern population, and the white population.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear things like the Le Pen group politically rising in France, that's their target.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, obviously, the Islamic and Middle Easterners, we have similar challenges here that we got to overcome as a country. But essentially, our big thing is sort of African Americans and white population.
Yeah.
In France, it's more Middle Easterners. And that's where that movie goes. It starts off as a pretty simple thriller, but it ends up as this very deep story about really what you might call the original sin of French racism, if you could call it that.
Yeah,
it
there's
just
a
gets deep,
lot of
man.
Layers.
It gets so deep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's really great.
I think it has one of the great final shots
yeah.
of any movie.
Yeah.
It's
well, yeah,
so
that's
simple,
right.
But
the
it's
picture.
Just, it holds. Yeah. It just like holds.
It's a mind
And you're looking
bender.
For something.
That's right.
You don't, I mean, that, this isn't even a spoiler. You're literally just the static
right.
lockdown shot where you're like trying to find, what am I supposed
that's
to be
exactly
looking at?
That's exactly right. And it's really like, again, it's Haneke tipping his hat to maybe a movie like The Shining mm-hmm. where you do have that photo at the end, but it's very resolving.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
the
I get it.
Well, whereas, they push right in on Jack
Right
Nicholson's
in on
face.
Jack, and yeah. you're just like, I get it. This is a thing. But in Haneke, it's very unsatisfying because you're like, wait, what? Because we've been trained through The Shining to be like, oh, he's going to throw up a photo and it's going to answer everything.
Right.
And then he holds on it so long.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, what am I supposed to be seeing? But you know the answer's in there somewhere, and I don't know what it is.
But it's like given weight by how long he holds
That's
on.
That's right.
It. So you're like, this mother
That's
must
right.
be meaning
yeah.
here. Otherwise, he wouldn't hold this damn shot for
That's
so
right.
long.
That's right. It's a great.
It's
so
really,
good.
I'm a huge
Well, yeah,
fan of it.
It's one of those movies. Well, and a little bit more about the plot without giving it away. The tapes escalate. There are more tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are. Secrets of the past of
yes.
this family
yes.
are revealed, and it's one of those movies that reveals itself little by little,
yeah.
and then with this knockout of an ending, which is to say, it's the opposite of a knockout of an ending.
Yep.
Except, it's the kind of movie where when, once it ends, you immediately go to your laptop and start Googling "cachet ending explained."
That's right.
So
yeah,
you can
yeah.
try and figure
it's
out.
It's a
exactly
movie
what's
like
going on.
Exit Through the Gift Shop, where like when I finished that one, I was just Googling for 7 hours
yeah.
after like what just happened.
Yeah.
And you, I think the reason that it does that is because it basically breaks down Daniel Auteuil's character on every possible level.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off pretty simple, where it's like you're being stalked.
Right.
Then it gets into his masculinity. That mm-hmm. there's that moment on the street where he fronts this guy or nearly runs him over on
yeah,
a bike.
Yeah.
But the minute the guy stops the bike and turns back to Daniel Auteuil, he's like, you want some?
Uh-huh.
Daniel Auteuil backs down immediately.
Yeah.
So it's a story of his masculinity. Then it becomes a story of his racism.
Uh-huh.
Then it becomes a story of his childhood trauma. And
yeah.
it's just like it breaks this dude down in an incredible way where at the end of the movie you're just like you kind of feel sorry for him. But
he's
yeah,
also
it's
not a good guy.
No, he's not a good guy.
Yeah, I just when I see a movie like this, I just think like, how the fuck do you sit down and conceive and write a film that's so densely layered and so subtle and impactful?
I don't know the backstory of this movie. I don't know if it was a book before a movie or anything like that. But as a script, it is one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just one of the best. And again, I can't, you know, you got Binoche and Auteuil, the powerhouses of French acting, just enjoying it, soaking up every single
yeah.
scene they're in, and it's awesome. Yeah, it's interesting to see movies that take a male archetype. I was just thinking about this. There was another movie that I can't remember the name of right now. I'll think of it. We'll edit it in later. But where it's similar vibe, where they just took a lead male character and broke him down systematically across 90 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a cool setup for a movie.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Everybody go watch Cachet. All right, I'll see you guys. Bye-bye. Got to go back to work. Run on this thing. I'll see you.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and now we're going to do What's Up, Doc?
What's up, Doc?
Our documentary recommendation. I think I just titled that this week, by the way. I don't know why I think of like to think of dumb little titles like that.
I mean, you know, you're good at it, man.
It could be just a documentary recommendation, but no, I got to call it What's Up, Doc. This week I'm going to talk about Shut Up, Little Man. Have you seen this one?
No, but that was a very spirited reading just then.
Well, it actually has an exclamation point in the title.
I see.
So
I heard it.
Yeah, you're required to read it that way. So this is, oh no, you're going to love this one. This is a documentary that was out, I don't know, a few years ago. I didn't look up the date, but it was, here's the story, is there were these two dudes who moved into an apartment in San Francisco in the early 90s, and after they moved in, it turns out that through their paper-thin walls, they realized they lived next door to a couple of argumentative, violent alcoholics. Doesn't sound fun or funny.
I mean, I can see the potential.
And it's not, it's a weird sort of feeling that it leaves you with, because what they did was they started taping on cassette tapes these arguments. And it gets the title because one of the guys used to shout, "Shut up, little man," was one of the things he shouted at his flatmate. So they started, there are these audio verite recordings that these guys made on cassette, like I said. And it became one of those things in the early 90s. I mean, you were youngish then, but pre-internet, pre-YouTube, things still got around. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember friends sharing videotapes of things that they would tape off television, which was YouTube. Not just like, here's this movie, but like, here are 12 funny things I taped, from the farting preacher to this news anchor that kept fucking up on the air and melted down.
Sure.
Like things you see on YouTube today. Things got around still pre-internet. And audio cassettes was one way that this happened. Like, do you remember the Jerky Boys?
Oh, yeah.
I heard the Jerky Boys for the first time sitting in a car in a parking lot on a cassette that had been passed around through friends. And then it later became like a real movie and stuff, which I actually never saw.
It's so funny. I used to exchange Smashing Pumpkins bootlegs with people on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we would mail them to each other. Uh-huh. But the best part was they'd fill the empty spots on the leftover tape with just whatever they wanted.
Right.
So I discovered a lot of cool new music just from like trading these bootlegs.
Yeah, it was funny because it was that feeling that tape space had value,
yes.
Which it did.
Yeah.
So like, oh, I'm not going to leave like 20 minutes of unused tape.
Yeah.
I'll just throw some shit on there.
Not anymore, though.
That's great. No, no value to tape anymore. That's not true. So anyway, these guys made these recordings. Part of the documentary is the story of these two gentlemen who live next door that they surreptitiously recorded. Part of it is then the life that these tapes took on, because it kind of got passed around and became a viral sensation in the analog era before things were called viral sensations. And they ended up having about 14 hours of tape, and it became, you know, a music label put out a CD of it. It became a comic book. A play was produced based around this. Devo recorded a song about this. It really spread around sort of the underground community of San Francisco and beyond. But then you have this background of, but this is, these are tapes of these two guys who are alcoholics and fight constantly. So it's has this weird, sad element too, because you also hear about their story and the fact of like that weird question of like, wait a minute, this is their life that you've ripped off and are broadcasting now.
Yeah, sort of that Grizzly Man question from the last episode. Like, is it pure kind of creepy voyeurism? Like,
yeah.
What's the value in this other than entertainment?
You know? Where's the line? And should these guys have even made these tapes? So that it introduces a lot of questions. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I'm just reading a little synopsis online and hearing you talk about it. I'm interested for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching. So Shut Up, Little Man is the What's Up, Doc recommendation. And finally, moving on to Independence Day. Do I have to keep explaining how that's spelled?
You're talking about the movie with Will Smith, right?
Oh, my God. We should do that every time. I think we probably will. Independence, D-E-N-T, apostrophe S, as an independent film.
Yes.
I'm going with Short Term 12. You seen that one?
Nope, never heard of it.
Oh, man. This is from a few years ago, starring Brie Larson, John Gallagher Jr., Caitlin Dever or Deaver, Rami Malek from Mr. Robot.
Yep.
And then the great Lakeith Stanfield from Get Out. He's in it, and I don't know, it was the first thing he was in, first thing I saw him in. But written, directed by a man named Destin Daniel Creton, C-R-E-T-T-O-N. He's from Hawaii, but here's the deal. He went to college in San Diego, was a filmmaking student and hobbyist, and at the same time worked at a group home for at-risk teenagers. I don't know if he got paid or if he was just a volunteer, but he was making these short films. He eventually made a short film about his group home, and I believe his group home was called Short Term 12, as in it was the number 12 in the series of short term homes for these kids in that city. And he ended up making it into a feature film, and it is phenomenal and emotionally devastating and draining and uplifting all at the same time. If you like independent films, it has all the hallmarks of independent film. You feel like it's really happening. The acting is great. Brie Larson is just, she's one of the best of her generation.
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic. She was on United States of Terror.
Emily watched that. I didn't watch that.
It was before she got really huge.
Yeah,
yeah.
She was the daughter.
I really liked that show a lot.
Yeah, Emily loved it. Mm-hmm. And I love Toni Collette. So I don't know why I never watched it. I think it was one of those where she started, I got behind, and I was like, I'm not going to catch up now.
Oh, it's hard. It's too much stuff to consume, too. It's like you can't
too
do it all.
Much. I saw the funny Onion headline the other day. It said, Area Man no longer taking TV show recommendations.
Exactly.
So anyway, Short Term 12, obviously set in that group home for troubled teens. There's a story of the teens themselves, one of which is takes part in self-harm, cutting. She has to deal with that. Brie Larson has her own story going on as in a relationship with her boyfriend who she won't open up to him emotionally, yet she will do this job, and maybe that's why, where it is all emotion. So it sort of tells the story of her relationship as she's working at this place, as she's dealing with this pregnancy, and it's just so hardcore. It deals with abuse, neglect, mental illness, but again, also uplifting in many ways. Just such a great, great small movie. Couldn't recommend it enough. It's almost like required viewing, you know?
All right.
It's one of those.
I guess I'm required to view it.
All right, now we'll move on to social studies.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
Where I post Facebook queries to you, the listening audience, all my pals out there in Movie Crush and Movie Crusher land. This one was, what's your sick on the couch, rainy day movie? What's your go-to? And people love this. And about 30% of the people said Harry Potter movies. So I'm not going to read any of those. But shout out to everyone who said a Harry Potter movie. Guess that's good on the couch movie.
It's actually funny that you say that. My On the Couch movie was a Harry Potter movie the last time I was sick, but it's this version that's narrated by this dude whose name I can't remember, but it's called Wizard People, Dear Reader, and he just narrates the entire movie with this absurdist kind of rewritten prose, like telling the story in voiceover narration.
Yeah.
He did a show on Adult Swim called China, Illinois. He's got some weird cartoons, but check out Wizard People if you're a Harry Potter fan. I want to hear people write in about that. It's pretty great.
All right. Harry Potter fans, I'm not one of them. Get involved. So I'm going to go with, I don't have a number one go-to, but if I'm flipping it around and I'm sick in bed and Wonder Boys is on, I will watch that a million times. One of my favorite movies.
Very cool movie.
And just has that great sort of, just what I need when I'm sick in bed.
Tone. It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not too crazy. Like, just very mellow. Yeah. You need mellow.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to read through a bunch of these fairly quickly. Molly McPherson, Beast of the Southern Wild. Devastating. Gretchen Herman, Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Wow. Old school. Love it. Jason Hancock, pretty much any Scorsese movie. Goodfellas, Casino, Wolf of Wall Street. All right. Fair enough. Greta Koenig, Julie and Julia or Election. Very different movies. Feature some stellar ladies. Boy, I'm with you on both those movies. Election's one of my faves. Sarah Stapleton, Coming to America. What is that, Velvet? She puts in there. Emily and I can almost act out that movie, every role, verbatim.
Did I hear they were doing some kind of reboot?
I think they're doing a sequel.
Oh, okay. Is that better or worse?
I don't know. Depends,
right? Proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, we'll see. Tess Sullivan, something from my childhood, like Bedknobs and Broomsticks or Mary Poppins or Pete's Dragon. Teresa DeMauro, I have three and they're all old. Summertime with Katharine Hepburn, Remains of the Day. Oh, great Merchant Ivory film. And Much Ado About Nothing with Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson. I like what you're throwing down there, Teresa. Jessica Lynn D'Alba, Pride and Prejudice BBC miniseries, 5 hours of perfection. Jessica, you should meet my wife. Audrey Bartlett, Twister. Emily loves that movie, too. Nick Kelly, Lost in Translation All the Way. I'm with you there. That'd be a good pick for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Good sick day movie.
Yeah, it's like got that... It makes you feel good. I know I keep coming back to that, but I think that's important. It either like it's got that chill, kind of languid vibe, and it ultimately kind of gives you the warm fuzzies, which you need when you're not feeling well.
Agreed. Andrew Fernandez says The Goonies. Great one. Aaron Cooper, Coop, my buddy. Clue every time. Boy, I love Clue. That is always a good answer. Scott Dawson, The Commitments. That's another feel-good movie. Susan Stecker Jones says The Jerk or The Princess Bride. All right, she likes to laugh when she's sick. Fair enough. Nick Mahaffey, Never Go Wrong with Roadhouse. Agreed. Glenn Pott says Better Off Dead. Good movie. Jessica Amber says Young Frankenstein or Legend. Depending on what kind of sickness she has, I guess. Annie Coates, Amati, Bringing Up Baby. Anthony Marks says Empire Strikes Back. And he put down 6 exclamation points. Jeannie McCool. Great name. Stand By Me. Good one. J.J. Verbino, Kung Fu Hustle. Brandy McCabe, Indiana Jones, or Harry Potter. Teresa Barker, any of the Nora Ephron movies. I'm with you there. Those are mostly pretty good. Norma Brunson says, usually I just pop in Buffy.
I'm more of a TV series guy when I'm sick. I like to binge stuff if I'm
in bed.
I don't really rewatch movies either.
Really?
I really don't. Yeah.
You're just coming out with that now?
Yeah.
All right.
I have a really good memory, though.
I have a terrible memory. Mike Dickinson, Zulu or Rio Bravo. All right, that's good. Matt Green, That Thing You Do. Kate Welpton Gross, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Oh, that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Sick movie. Kendall Argost Watson, Shakespeare in Love. Tammy Gibbons, Love Actually. Ryan Love, The Breakfast Club. Tom Rockwell, Lord of the Rings Trilogy. Ugh, kill me.
Not a fan.
I don't know, man. They're sort of all the same to me.
You think they could have gotten to that mountain a little faster, don't you, Chuck?
For sure. Ruben Parks, Blade Runner or Die Hard. Yes, sir. You are correct. Jade Wright says Wizard of Oz. James Padrone says Snatch. Brandon Surigao says The Shining. Another Ferris Bueller from Corey Mull. Elise Marie says Snow Days. It's Harry Potter. Rainy Days, Fever Pitch, Sick Days, Friends.
Wow, that's specific.
Very specific. I like what you're throwing down too, Marie. I'm sorry, Lisa Marie. Is that Lisa Marie Presley?
I don't know. Is she still around?
She is. That is not her, though. Kristen Egan, Singing in the Rain. Great. Bryce Barnett's Zodiac. Oh, yeah. You love Zodiac, too,
I'm
right?
a fan of Zodiac. Yeah, I like the slowness of that. I feel like he really translated that into the Mindhunter show, too. That show's got a similar vibe.
Yeah, agreed. Christopher Austin, Field of Dreams. I could throw down with that. Chris Davis, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, that's a good one. Terrence O'Rourke says, Dodgeball or Kind Hearts and Cornets. All right. Allison Gallagher. Allison's very active on the page. Thank you, Allison. That Thing You Do, another one for her. And then two more. Caitlin Gordon says, You've Got Mail. Nora Ephron getting more love. And Terry Richards with The Notebook. The weepy, romantic, sappy love fest, The mm-hmm. Notebook.
Yeah. I stay away from stuff like that.
You didn't see it?
I did. I mean, I've had it spoiled for me, so I don't think I need to see it.
You know what? I'll go out there and say I like The Notebook.
Okay.
I thought it was good. I love me some Gosling. And he and Rachel McAdams had a – I mean, it's – I think they fell in love on that movie. So when that happens, you can really feel it.
Oh, sure.
Through the screen. And then, I mean, I'm a sucker, man. I'm an emotional wreck here in my late 40s.
Yeah. Well, me too, dude.
And the James Garner, Jenna Rollins – as them as old people subplot is just fucking devastating.
Yeah.
Can't take it. Good movie.
I guess I like my tears to come from like Pixar movies. Mm-hmm. I don't really seek out like dramas as much as I used to. I need comedy, man.
Like how much do you cry?
A lot.
Like daily?
No,
weekly?
No, in movies. I mean like
I mean in life.
In
how
life.
Much do you cry?
Oh, no. It really only happens during movies, man.
Okay.
It happens a lot. Like, if I go to a Pixar movie with my kid. Or, no, it happens with music sometimes, too.
Sure.
Like, if I hear a song.
You get moved by something?
I'm turning, like, I was trying to turn my kid on to the Beatles.
Yeah.
And some of these songs are coming on. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm getting this. Paired with the showing of it to her and her being
in your eye.
It happens, man. And she sees me and she goes, Dad, quit being a pussy.
Emily and I, she doesn't say that, does she? Emily and I call it getting weepy. And we, I think, are... I was about to say no good for each other, but maybe it's just fine. But we get weepy a lot. I mean, the right TV commercial, man, can send me over the edge.
Oh, man.
All right, Noel, we're going to finish with Comment Card, where we take Facebook questions to the two of us. Can you name, and this is from Joe Foster, J-O Foster, can you name at least three movies where a cop who's just had enough throws his badge into a body of water? I don't think I can name one.
I guess I usually picture them slamming the badge down on their superior officer's desk.
Well, that's when they get suspended. Turn in your gun and your badge.
That's true.
And they also always do so angrily.
That's true.
I don't know that I've ever seen that. So
I want to see them skip it like a stone. Uh-huh. That'd be cool.
I'm done with you, badge, but have a little fun on your way out.
Right.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations questions that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Gleason says, when will you feature Tarantino? As in, have him on the show, Danielle? Well, I mean, shit. Whenever he wants.
Yeah. He, you know.
I've talked trash about him on the show a lot, though.
Well, he's, you know, he's a problematic figure of late. You notice his Weinstein support and the whole making Uma Thurman drive that car that almost broke her spine.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a good look.
Did you see that footage?
Oh, yeah. It's rough.
It was pretty scary looking.
It's real bad. She's all, like, broken and, like ragdolled out, man.
You don't do that to your actors.
No. No.
No. And by from our last segment, Grip This, the camera was mounted on the car behind her head.
That's right.
For that POV, the grips would have done that mounting.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I would have Tarantino on there because he's a giant of the industry, but he's never going to come on the show.
So let's just keep talking shit.
Yeah. Joshua Brennan says, which sequels that are better than the first? He goes with Terminator 2 and Temple of Doom. I take issue with Temple of Doom being better than Raiders for sure. Terminator 2 was better than Terminator probably. And I don't know about better, but Godfather 2 was just as good as Godfather 1.
I like the whole backstory, the whole like the time travel aspect of it a lot. You know, with the whole like Vito's early days or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like we already covered this too because I remember talking about Spider-Man 2.
Oh, maybe so.
So I think this might be a repeat.
It's okay. You can have different answers.
I probably had the same answers.
I'm a big fan of Titanic 2, though I think that's clearly the superior film.
Boat Rising?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Bodie McBoatface.
Chris Popoff, or Popkoff, depending on if your K is silent, is there a movie that no one seems to love but you? That's a good question. He says, for instance, I love Gore Verbinski's The Mexican with Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts, but I feel like the consensus is that that was a failure. I'm not going to put too much thought into this, Chris, because I don't want to bore you, but I will also agree with you that I quite enjoyed The Mexican. I thought it was pretty good, and I don't think it was very well reviewed.
The one about the gun?
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
I liked it.
Okay.
The gun was The Mexican.
That's right. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Do you have an answer for that, Noel?
I don't. No.
All right.
I'm a hard line. I follow what the critics say.
Yeah, no matter what.
Yeah.
that's what we love about you. Kristen Glenn Kister says, when you make a new acquaintance, what movie do you throw out there to judge their possible friendability? Whoa, that is a great question. All right, I'm not going to overthink this one either, but if it's comedy stuff, I might throw out like a Waiting for Guffman or something like that. Yeah, I'm going to go with Waiting for Guffman on comedy.
I've definitely done that before. Just like I'm always delighted when someone hasn't seen it because I like watching it. That's when I would rewatch right now.
Yeah.
For sure. But it's also, because it's got such a specific sense of humor that just really lines up with, you know, my sensibilities, I think, that if someone else gets it and laughs at the same bits, then, you know, you probably will hit it off, you know?
Well, even more so, though, if someone was like, oh, what was funny about that?
Exactly. Then you're like, yeah, pass.
Yeah, sorry. Swipe right or left. I don't even know.
I forget
which
too.
Way do people swipe?
I don't know. It's been too long. For me, it's like Eternal Sunshine, Adaptation, like all those Spike Jonze, Charlie Kaufman, Michelle Gondry, that whole world. It's any of those movies. They check all the boxes for me. So if we're going to hang, you got to like those movies.
All right. The next question is from Caleb Jay Wyant, who was your movie crush? That is, a movie character you always had crushed on. That's a good question. So I'm going to go with a movie called The Heartbreak Kid. And specifically, Michelle Monaghan, her character in that. I got a big crush on her in IRL anyway, Michelle Monaghan. I just think she is beautiful, but in a very approachable girl next door sort of way. And she always plays likable characters. It just seems like a good person. So I've always crushed on her. And her character in The Heartbreak Kid is Miranda. And she, and they play this up in the movie, is just super lovable, has this great family, and she's nice, and she's funny, and she's smart. And that's kind of the whole point of the movie, is that she plays opposite this creature of Malin Ackerman, who turns out to be, you know, Ben Stiller gets married to her early on. It turns out to be a nightmare of a wife. They go on vacation where he bumps into Michelle Monaghan while his wife is sick, and they sort of form this relationship. But I'm going to go with that as my movie crush, is Miranda in The Heartbreak Kid.
I actually posted this. There's a Movie Crushers thread asking this very question, and everyone posted their answer with a GIF. And mine was Wednesday Addams, Christina Ricci playing Wednesday Addams.
Oh.
When she's like wearing like an Indian Pocahontas kind of outfit, uh-huh, and lighting a match because she burns down the summer camp, I guess.
And yes. And of course, yeah, you saw that when you were
I was a child. Yeah. Yes, yes, exactly. But I have continued crushing on her as she has aged and stayed roughly the same age. But yeah.
Here's a little story for you, Noel. You know, my brother worked as an AD for many years. He worked on the Addams Family Values, mm-hmm, the sequel. And he and Christina Ricci were kind of pals.
Yeah.
And she even, I think, had a crush on my brother and gave him a Christmas gift of Chili Pepper boxer shorts.
Oh, my God. Will you tell him to put in a good word for me? I'm kidding. I've got a girlfriend.
So, yeah, that was kind of cool.
That's awesome, man. Those movies do not hold up on repeat viewing, though. I will tell you that. I watched one recently.
And... Well, I thought Addams Family Values was actually, that's a sequel that was better than the original.
Okay, I watched the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, the second one was better. That's the one with the Pocahontas.
That's right. Yep, yep.
Very good movie. And they had that great dance sequence in that movie with Raul Julia and...
The Mamushka?
Huh?
The Mamushka.
Is that the dance?
That's the name of the dance.
Oh, man.
Where they throw the knives up and he catches it in his teeth.
That whole sequence, my brother said, took like a week to shoot that thing.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's just, I think Barry Sonnenfeld directed it. It was just amazing, amazing.
Yep.
All right, a couple more here. Brandon Favory says, what movie universe would you most like to live in? That's a good one. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with anything set in the rural British countryside.
It's very very peaceful, very calming.
Yeah. What about you?
And apparently murders happen on the reg.
Sure.
In the British countryside.
So I could play detective.
I don't know. I felt like I would have really enjoyed the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, just something in the 60s, like Forrest Gump maybe.
All right. Sure, why not?
Okay.
Forrest Gump. And finally, Chrissy Burbeck, do you ever have friends or other couples over to watch movies? You know, Chrissy, I don't do that as much anymore, and I should. But Scotty from the Oscars Spectacular will come over and watch movies every now and then. But it's usually, and especially now that you got a kid, we have a kid, it's like, it's usually just me and Emily. Same with you?
Well, I have a kid, but I only have her on the weekends. So, yeah, I have friends over to watch movies all the time.
Oh, well, why don't you ever invite me?
I will. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that was on the table, Chuck.
Well, I haven't said yes yet.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, that's it for Mini Crush this week, everybody. We're wrapping it up here. Thanks for the support, as always. Thanks for contributing. Like us on Facebook.
And thanks to Mr. Byrne for joining us on this episode.
Yeah,
right?
How about
cool.
that? Yeah. Connell might have to come in here on the reg.
Yeah.
He's one of the smartest dudes.
Oh, my God.
And a renaissance man.
Big time.
He's actually an actor. Like,
yeah.
Go to Netflix and stream The Reconstruction of William Zero.
Yeah.
And Connell is the star of that movie.
Yeah. And he plays an awesome bank manager in The Vault, which is also on Netflix.
And he was in the Stuff You Should Know TV show. And Connell was also the lead singer of a band that, like, was on a major label.
Totally.
In the 90s.
Yeah. Very,
It's really kind of crazy.
Fascinating fellow.
Yeah, good dude. So thanks, Connell, for coming in here. Again, thanks for your support. Like us on Facebook. This week, you have a little bit of homework. I'm going to have Beth Newell. Beth is a friend of mine. She is the co-founder of the great, great satirical feminist website, Reductress. Sat down with Beth in New York City to talk about her movie crush, Bridget Jones' Diary. So look forward to that. Watch it this week. And thanks for tuning in.
Reductress is so fucking funny. I love it.
It's the best. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.